Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Hello, hello. And we are joined not by one, but by two special guests. I say special, Ellie. They are our dads.
Hooray!
Hooray!
My dad is Tim, and he's 78, and he's from Australia. He's a father of five. He's married for 50 years, grandfather of six. He's a retired vicar, a sports enthusiast, and likes to sleep during the day.
That was great. That was like 15 to 1. Do you have 15 to 1 in Australia?
No, what are you
talking
about?
It's just like that, and then there's a quiz, basically. That's what happens. Okay, my father is Jim. Jim is a father of two and a grandfather of one. He is a comedian, actor, cricket, navigator, and atheist.
That sounds more like through the keyhole.
It does, that's right.
Actually, I'm not an atheist. I'm a militant agnostic. There is a difference.
Oh, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily believe there is no afterlife. I'm sceptical.
Right. Where does the militant bit come in?
Well, I don't believe...
Do you go on rallies?
Yeah.
You're just like, is there a God? I'm not sure.
That's right, yeah.
Standing outside Parliament with a banner just with a question mark.
Yes, militant hedge better. That's what I am.
Well, maybe by the end of this podcast, Tim, as a vicar, maybe you can evangelise a bit. Maybe you can convince Dad of the existence of God. What do you think? Don't say you're not sure now. You're having a crisis of faith on the podcast.
He's having some kind of crisis.
And what should we call the granddads so they don't... We can't keep calling them Dad each because it will get confusing.
All right. Tim Thorne, Jim Barclay.
Shall we... Do you want to kick off?
So for Jim, what are the best bits about being a grandpa?
What I like is that you discover that you share the same problems that not necessarily the middle generation share. For example, Charlie and I had a very interesting conversation. We realised we both had the same incontinence problems.
Oh, I see.
We have a common bond in that area.
Oh, that's nice. Are you in the Huggies pull-ups as well?
Yeah,
like
I am. Yeah,
you
yeah.
You like the ones with Lightning McQueen on, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, so that we do have a common bond.
And you like an afternoon nap?
Now and again, actually, that's the terrible thing because I do sleep with Charlie in the car. To get him to sleep, I nod off as well. You know,
often while driving.
Yes.
How about you, Dad? What's the best bits about being a grandpa?
He's got a little.
No, I like being with my grandchildren. Oh, you like to make comparisons?
Oh, what between them?
Between them and my children, myself.
It, like in a sort of competitive way, or. You know, that one's good at maths, that one's hair's a bit
in
funny.
In an inquisitive way, you know. And
go on, who's Helen like? Tell us who she's like.
She's like a mum.
Nutty great Aunt Maud.
No, she's like a mum.
Is she?
Yeah. It's a bit of a mum.
She does like a Liberty padded coat hanger.
I do like it.
Don't we all? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Dad, have you noticed any of your own characteristics in Charlie?
Well, he's opinionated, he talks a lot, he likes his own way. Fortunately, I don't possess any of those characters.
I was going to say, me neither. It must have skipped a generation.
Yes.
Well, are there any things that you want to pass on to your grandchildren? Either, you know, hobbies that you enjoy or bits of wisdom or characteristics that you think would be useful to them in their lives?
Yeah, I'd like them to be creative.
Yeah.
Very important. All my kids are creative and
Well, except Helen, obviously.
Yeah,
she's stunted creatively.
She's very creative, you know.
She's very creative. I was joking, Tim. I'm sorry. Very rude.
And you're a bit lefty, aren't you, Dad? You like a bit of socialism. You like a bit of...
No, I don't like selfish people. I don't like and I'm not terribly keen on mean people either.
Fair enough. That's a good one.
That's the main principle of socialism, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Dad, what about you? Is there anything you'd like to pass on to Charlie?
No, I would like him to become a wicketkeeper. In my cricket team, the wicketkeeper is 75 years old.
Wow.
And he's not going to be going for too long. He thinks he is.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that by the time he finally acknowledges it's time for him to retire,
yeah,
then Charlie will have donned the gloves and become... So that's, apart from that...
That's a lovely thing. That's really nice.
You know.
So do you have any fond memories of your own grandparents?
I do, actually. I mean, they're not altogether fond. My grandfather was a shipyard worker, and then he retired. And then he used to haul me off. When I was about 9 years old, he'd take me to Brigham's Shipyard, where he used to work.
Is that where they make the fish paste as well?
No, that's Shipham's Shipyard. Oh, right. Sorry about it. Can you get your semantics correct there? But we used to go, and it was July. It was like this time, and he would take me, and I would have this huge overcoat, which he would make me wear. It didn't even fit me, even though not. He would say, you need your coat. I said, but it's too hot. No, take your coat. The reason I had to take my coat was that he would actually make me fill my pockets with nails and screws. I actually came up with an entire plane and a drill in the other pocket, you know, because he felt, having worked there for all those years, that, you know, but they would search it, but I could hardly walk.
Yeah,
so that's the fondest memory I have of my grandfather, wearing a very heavy overcoat, which got heavier on the way home. Yeah.
It's been like that time you made Charlie put on his duffel and go around Morrison stuffing sausage rolls into his pockets.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, would I?
What about you, Tim? Do you remember your own granddad's?
I remember going to the zoo with him once. That's all I remember about him.
He wasn't a petty criminal like Jim's.
Ironic when you think about it. Terms of nationality.
I mean, I have to say, in defence of my grandfather, he did all these nuts and bolts and stuff. He did actually make me a bicycle.
Did he now? Yes,
made his out of, you know.
How generous.
Yes. Yeah.
That's nice, stealing the components for your own Christmas
present. Yeah.
I might start nicking Charlie a Lego brick a day between now and Christmas. He'll have enough for a dinosaur palace, which is all he ever wants to build anyway. Let's face facts. Yeah.
I did like my grandfather. I mean, he had a lovely big dog, and this dog used to go on the bus on its own. Brilliant, you know. And he blew a missile, and the dog used to get off and cross the road.
Where was it going?
It just used to go. He didn't want to take it. He trained it to do its own walking and its own.
Wow!
You know, and it was wonderful.
Did it have an Oyster card? How did it?
No, it didn't. They had a bus conductor in there, and all the bus conductors knew this dog. It was called Chippy.
Hello, Chippy.
Yeah. He was great. He was a wonderful dog. Yeah. So I loved the dog. And he was a great horticulturalist as well. You know, he's great.
What, Chippy?
Chippy did as well. Yeah.
Chippy was a dab hand with a bonsai.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Oh, his allotment was a treat.
But where was Chippy going? Was he commuting? Was he going to the light? Like, what was he doing?
He'd go to the beach. He didn't hire a deck chair or anything, but he did used to get down there and go at the beach, Marsden Beach in South Shields. Then he'd come back on, and they had trolley buses, and he knew which one to get on. You know.
This is amazing. Is this a film that you've seen, or is this?
No, it's true. This dog could do anything. When it died, it was devastating because it was such a bright dog. You know, I mean, it went to Dog University, everything. You know?
Yeah, now you are.
All right, yeah.
No.
Taken, thank you.
Was Chippy the dog around at the same time as Chompy the cat?
No.
I should explain. So when Charlie was born, I was living with Mum and Dad at the time, and Charlie was maybe 4 days old, you know, very sweet little lovely baby, and then he was on the kitchen table one day, and Dad just came in the kitchen and went, "Hello, Chompy! Chompy!" And I was like, "Why? His name's Charlie. Why are you calling him Chompy?" And he's like, "Well, it's a nickname, isn't it?" And I said, "Well, where's it from?" And Dad said, "Oh, Chompy. Oh, it's the name of Great Aunt Judy's cat. They're dead now." right.
So that's a lovely
so
story.
So that's why it's called Chumphy.
Yeah. Did Chumphy the cat have any special talents like Chippy the dog?
Chumphy the cat.
Here we go. Run my novel.
No, he lived on a farm, and Chumphy the cat was adept at getting anything that was smaller than it, you know, all over this farm. And in a farm, you needed an animal like that. It wasn't as bright as Chippy, but it was getting that way.
And he thought, that's the thing that I need to name my first child, grandchild after.
Yeah. A very vicious
rodent-killing cat. So my dad, my lovely dad, and my lovely mum have been married this year for 50 years, dear listener.
To each other?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I know, the same person. They celebrated their golden wedding anniversary in January this year. Have you got a secret to long marriage? We did talk about this last night.
Oh, right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Jim? How long have you been married, Dad? You don't even know.
No, I don't know. 1977.
Yeah, because it was the year I was born, funnily enough. So you've been married for 37 years.
Is it?
Yes. I got Chippy to work it out earlier. Yeah.
That's the same number as the bus I used to go on when I was a kid, you know, 37.
Fun fact. Yeah. Have they been 37 years of unbridled joy and harmony?
Well, I'd like to think we've had our downs and downs. You know, I mean, no, I'll correct that, though. the thing is, you've got to be philosophical because I've read it somewhere, but it's true. The first 50 years of marriage are the hardest.
Right. Yeah. Then, would you agree with that, Tim, having done the first 50 years?
We had our celebrations this year, and they meant a great deal to me because you realise, how worthwhile everything is and how much you appreciate your family, because you start off with just you and your wife, and then after 50 years you've got a sort of, what do you call it, a...
Children. Grandchildren. legally binding contracts. Mortgages.
You could say you've got a dynasty.
Yes.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yes.
Or dynasty.
Fortunately, they get on well with one another. That's what's tremendous.
Marriage is a... I'd like to think the secret of good marriage is always keep calm. Remain calm. I'd like to think that. I would like to think that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. That probably is the secret of good marriage. How would we know?
Yeah. I mean, I always consult my two favourite marriage manuals. You know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We all be.
That is a good one.
And Jeffrey Bernardi's Unwell. Now, this is a guy who used to get drunk every night in a coach and horses in the West End. He was a journalist, wrote to the Spectator. But he had five wives.
At the same time?
No, not all at the same time. One after the other. So
divorced, beheaded, no way.
Yeah, but he must know something about marriage, you know what I mean? Yeah. So he's the guy I think is worth consulting.
Well, surely he knows nothing about marriage. If he's failed at it five times.
Yeah, but he managed to get five in the first place. That's an achievement, isn't it?
Anyone can get a wife, Father, but to keep one is... a phrase I may have once read somewhere, but I've forgotten the end.
My all-time favourite quote about marriage comes from George Harrison's wife, and they said, "Oh, you know, you've been married to George Harrison a long time. What's the secret of a long marriage?" And she said, in a very thick American accent, "Not getting divorced."
Hey, that is a good tip.
I just think that is the secret to a long marriage: not getting divorced.
Right.
Yeah,
it's the best you can do, is it?
Yes, I think that's really good.
How long have you been married, Helen?
I've been with Will 16 years. So
what's your secret?
I think a very good sense of humour and time apart.
Mm. Yeah.
Not too long, not too short. Tim?
No, the question was, you know, what makes for a good marriage?
Okay, yes.
Well, I think the sense of fairness.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say fear, which definitely is a key element of my marriage.
And I think you've got to think before you speak. And if it's going to make things better, say it. If it's going to make things worse, shut up.
Oh, he's honest. That's a good one. I never
take
thought
that,
of it,
Dr. Phil.
Do you agree with that, Father?
What, engage your brain before opening your mouth.
Yes.
I have to say, quite often it's something I signally fail to do. afterwards. Yes.
Yeah. We'll get you a T-shirt printed, I think. Yeah. Perhaps we'll get Mum one so you can see it at the time. Yeah. Be nice. Oh, well, thank you. That's words of actual words of wisdom on the podcast. Yeah. That's a rarity, isn't it?
Very good advice, Dad.
Yeah.
So
let's move on. Let's talk about us, Helen.
I think that's nice, Ellie. Thank you.
Me too.
You never get tired of it.
All right, Tim, steady on. Getting a bit feisty.
I know.
He's nearly finished that pint of water. It's gone straight to his
head.
That's
it. That's all that. All those luxury nuts he's been eating.
So the next section we thought would be nice was, what have Ellie and Helen learnt from their dads? Have we got a theme tune?
I think it should be something soft and lilty.
Why don't you like sing a soft and lilty backing track and I'll sing over the top.
La la la.
What have Helen and Ellie learned from their dads? Oh, that's the first time we've ever riffed.
Oh, I know.
Together, let's never do that again.
No, it was almost as bad as the rapping.
Don't speak of the rapping, Helen. You know that. We never speak of it. We will never speak of it again.
Don't go back. Okay. So what have we learned from our dads? This wonderful man sitting next to me has taught me about being a good left-wing kind of person. Mm. Good lefty point of views in terms of being a good community person, good ethics, commitment to task. If ever I joined a club or a sport, I had to finish it to the end.
Oh, really?
Couldn't shirk on things.
Oh.
No dodgy do.
You've changed a lot, though, haven't you?
I know. No. I can't say at the last minute. Being a very good friend, generous host, that sort of thing, and also some ridiculous dancing.
Oh, are you a dancer, Tim? Do you like a boogie?
Yes, Dad likes to lead with his thumbs when he dances.
Oh, yes. Who doesn't? That's a good move. Lead with the happy robot.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Lead him with your thumbs and maybe other parts of your anatomy. Anyway,
yeah. You do this one, though, Dad. You have a sort of wrist shake thing, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You have a sort of floppy wrist. Yes. It's nice. I like it. It's a good look.
Yeah.
Well, what have I learned from you, Dad? What have I learned? I've learned the value of having a good forward defence. I don't know what that means, but I know it's important. I don't know which sport that piece of information is attached to.
Don't drop your guard, in other words.
Don't drop your guard. Yeah. That's a good one. And then I noticed you've made some notes for me, Dad. You've put knowing when to shut up. First of all, I don't know when to shut up. That's one of my biggest characters.
I think you might appreciate the irony of my notes.
That's why she's got into podcasting, because then she gets to edit herself back.
Yeah, what have you learned from me, Ellie? I'm very interested to hear what you've actually learned from me. This is going to be an education for me.
Well, again, I think I've probably got my left-wing principles from you. Pete likes to call it indoctrination. Obviously, I've got showing off. I got that from you.
Yep.
Trying to be funny. I've probably got that from you. And Mum. I have to say, Mum's very funny, isn't she?
Yes.
And, you know, reading. Our house was always full of books, which is something I feel bad about, because now our house is full of a Kindle. And I'm not sure. One thing, though, Dad, that I haven't got from you that I would like you to pass on to me before you do go is your frankly astonishing encyclopedic knowledge of the public houses of London. Nay, Britain. Oh,
yes.
Because if you say to Dad, a pub, he'll immediately be able to tell you what the beer's like, what the price is like, what the atmosphere's like.
Very good.
So, for example, if I say to you, Dad, the Pauline Arms.
The Pauline Arms? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's down by Sydenham. It's the bottom of Sydenham and Penge, isn't
it? Right,
Yeah. Shepherd Neame pub, I think, isn't it? Yeah. It's a good one.
Right, I'll throw a road at you. You tell me what about the Edgware Road?
Edgware was at the Dublin Castle. That was where Dawn French, that was where we both appeared at the bloody Dublin Castle.
You were on the same bill as Dawn French.
Yeah, terrible audience. Yes.
Bricklayer's Arms.
The Bricklayer's Arms, Young's in Dartmouth Road. Very good. And they have Sky and BT Sport on there. Yeah.
The Founder's Arms.
Blackfriars Bridge. Very good. Yeah, excellent pub. Yeah. See, what? Very crowded and very expensive.
But otherwise, it's great.
Yeah. It's just for the benefit of your scummy mummy. Actually, to be quite honest, scummy mummy listeners, if you get the train to Blackfriars,
yes,
and you can take your kids as well, you can sit out on the river and you can get a pint at the Founder's Arms.
I like the Founder's Arms.
Yeah, it's Do you know, that's where
I stood in front of the Founder's Arms for 4 hours. To watch the Queen go past on a boat.
Oh, for God's sake.
On the Jubilee.
Have you nothing better to do?
Absolutely not. It was lovely. I waved at the Queen for at least 25 seconds.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, let's.
So what have we learnt from our dads, Ellie? In summary,
go to the Founders Arms.
That's it.
And Dad, you always say, "Be good to people, be kind, and shut up when you need to." Is that right? In summation,
yeah, good. All right,
okay.
He's nodding in agreement. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for sermon or stand up. Sermon or stand up. Sermon or stand up. Sermon or stand up. Very exciting.
I know. Tim and Jim.
Because we have with us tonight a vicar and a stand up comedian. And you know, really, how different are those professions? Tim, do you ever feel like a comedian when you're getting up there to do your vicar's dickers?
Well, I suppose it's a show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in costume. Yeah, but you do the same job in that you both make up stories to entertain a crowd and keep them coming back week after week. That's the plan.
Yeah, the same thing is to engage with your audience, isn't it?
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
And if you don't engage with your audience,
they're not going to come back.
Well, no. Yeah, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But your problem is you can't go out and tell them jokes about sex and farting, which you can.
No. I'm quite comfortable with that one. Yeah.
No. We don't have any fart jokes in our current
state. Anal joke. Anal jokes are the new farting joke for the 21st
century.
Our
anal joke is legendary.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. You have seen the show 3 times, Dad. Yeah. Yes, yes,
yes. I've actually held banners up saying, anal joke, please.
Do you ever get hecklers, Tim?
Very odd occasion. I've had a drunk in the pew.
So how do you shut down a heckler? What's your trick? Do you tell them the Lord will punish them? I totally think that's what I'd be like, you're going to be smited if you carry on like that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I had a
dreadful experience with this guy. Fairly recently got up and more or less he wanted to speak for a minute or so. And he went on and on.
Dear. Yeah.
Mm. Anyhow.
Dad, what do you do if you've been heckled many a time, by me and Mum? But yeah.
I'm usually heckled by the people I actually bring to the gig, which is really rewarding. You
know? So how do you prepare? Do you try out your sermon, Tim, on people before you get up there? And
Sometimes read it to my wife, yes.
See if she laughs.
I pretty well know whether they're going to go all right, though.
Yeah. Have you ever like picked up a Bible and gone, oh, I've done everything in here. I can't. Was you it? Because I've rinsed this.
Yeah. See, when I was in Glasgow on exchange, there was this thing called Bible dipping. So you get a Bible and you ask it a question. It's usually when you're drunk and you're surrounded by Scotsmen.
Is there a God?
Yeah. I was drunk. I was 23. I was in Scotland, and we were like, oh, let's ask the Bible a question. And basically, I said, will I lose any weight next year? And I opened the Bible and you close your eyes, put your finger on a page, and it's meant to give you the answer. And do you know what I put my finger on? Jug of oil. And that gave me the answer, ladies and gentlemen. There we are.
The prophecy.
Bible dipping. If only I put a Bible on this time, we could have actually done some Bible dipping ourselves.
Could have. What a shame.
Never mind.
Yeah.
But so Tim's got the Bible to work with, Dad, but you say you say that you go with things that piss you off. Now, my question is, how do you choose? Because everything in the modern world annoys you. Traffic
pretty
lights,
well much, yeah.
Policemen,
noise,
yeah.
Global, you know, environmental destruction, war.
Yeah,
the
I'm really
way
pissed off by war, really. That's surprising,
juice.
Isn't it? I'm pissed off by war.
Well,
it's
I
not
know.
A good thing,
well,
is
I know
it?
That you get as angry about war as you do about the fact that the price of milk in Jay's down the road has gone up by 6p.
I don't get as angry about the
you're
price.
Doing it now, you're doing it now.
Well, I mean, if people didn't get angry, nothing would improve, would it?
Well, I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure the Dalai Lama would agree with that, for example.
Or Gandhi.
Yeah, he managed to achieve quite a lot by being pretty relaxed.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't eat a lot.
No,
but,
no,
you know,
that's yeah. true. But he was still angry, wasn't he?
Again, he wasn't really angry about the price of a pint of semi-skimmed.
No, well, he had other things to be angry about, but like the fact that British Raj had occupied his country for 100 years. It's pretty.
That's a valid thing.
Something to get pretty worked up about, I'd have thought, rather than the price of milk.
But what I'm saying is, you would equate British Raj and oppression with the BT Vision Box not working properly.
Well, no, I think the BT Vision Box can be pretty oppressive at times.
Let's talk about costumes. So what do you wear, the traditional vicar's garb, Tim?
Yeah, well, look, I'm happier in just, what do you call it?
Basque.
Well, a style than an alb.
Bikini, yeah.
But what I discovered was, because we're in the same business of changing people's minds, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to wear something which says, I'm not about to change your mind. Mm. So what I found was I wore the yellow tights.
That'll do it. That's it.
Just the one pair?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
the
just
one
the one pair.
Pair,
yeah. Red boots. And yeah. And then I discovered that if I put a nail through my head, that actually completely undermined my intellectual authority.
Right. Of which you have so much.
Yeah, and yeah. So then I could actually go out and tell jokes that precipitate the downfall of capitalism and bring that to tyranny and justice.
That was the
head.
Link. That was the link.
No one would ever take me seriously. They'd laugh, but they would go away with all the resonances. That was a theory.
So deep.
And then you really added to that gravitas by dropping a 10p out of your bumhole.
That's the one.
What would you say your career highlight has been, Dad?
I once performed to 1,000,000 people. Now, they haven't all come to see me. I was on after Scargill.
Oh, he's,
and,
yeah.
And before
you
Tony Benn. And it was a CND demonstration in Hyde Park.
Can you explain what CND is? For?
Yeah, the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. And it was amazing. And I was absolutely terrified. Well, the only way to do it like Arthur Scargill. And so I used to break every phrase up like that and still try and tell jokes.
I don't mean to be funny, Dan. That sounds a bit more like Hitler.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to 1,000,000 people, maybe that's...
Ah, he knew what he was doing. Yeah. Yeah.
But the same day, I was also booked to play the Bunham Folk Club. And 12 people turned up. Those were the two highlights and lowlights, all on the same day.
Tim, what's the biggest audience you've ever performed to?
I think it's probably Hugh's wedding.
Hugh is my older brother, the middle one of five, number three. And my brother, he likes a party.
But I'd say...
He had about 400 of his
but
weddings.
But I'd say Hugh and Helen, of my family, are people magnets. Hugh decided he'd be married in St Paul's Cathedral.
Which is the biggest church in...
Well, it's the Cathedral of Melbourne.
Yes.
He filled the cathedral, tremendous.
And what I liked was, is Dad was radio mic'd, right? So when the hymns came up, the whole cathedral was filled with Dad's singing voice, which was to the theme of Ode to Joy. So you hear this... So that for me was one of the highlights of the
show. That is dreamy.
Yeah, yeah. As well as the, like, do you hear?
Was it really words? Maybe?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Well,
look, your words were lovely, but your singing voice, you know.
Okay. Now it's time for a game.
Hooray!
Oh,
yes. Everyone loves a quiz, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
Tim looks like he wants to get on the first flight back to Australia
yeah.
right now.
He wants to be horizontal, I think.
And it's called the Zeitgeist quiz.
Zeitgeist.
Because this is inspired by you, Grandpa Gibson, because you're always banging on about how you've got your finger on the pulse and you're in touch with the Zeitgeist.
Oh, I'm in touch with the Zeitgeist.
And youth culture and all of that stuff. So, I'm gonna say a word and I want you to tell me what you think it means. Is that okay? Dad, you got it? You have to talk. This is the bit we talk. All right, good.
Okay. I'll have another glass of wine, I think.
All right.
He says glass. He means bottle.
Yeah. Number one, Facebook. It's an easy one to start.
What
is Facebook, Tim?
Well, Facebook is the modern phenomena which overtakes people, mainly females in my book. It's a vehicle of communication.
Very good.
Five. Okay, I'm number two.
Yes.
Twitter.
What is Twitter? What is Twitter?
Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand there's a thing called Twitter, but and I understand it's a very powerful social media. But
very good. Look at him with the lingo.
Do you know what Twitter is?
How many characters can I answer the question in?
Oh, look at that. For a bonus point, Dad, do you know what is the max character allowance on Twitter?
140.
Bonus
I don't use it though. Never
dad.
Go on in. Never had anything to do with it.
Do you know what loom bands are?
Loom bands.
Stony silence from the granddad.
Oh, no, well, in the 19th century, when they had the Arkwright's cotton mill, the Arkwright loom, you know, the shuttle used to go backwards and forwards.
You tell me, you were there.
And, yeah, these eight-year-olds they had to go in and pick up all the fluff at the bottom. And if that shuttle didn't, you know, used to come along and suddenly hit them on the head.
I think he's going in the wrong direction, listener.
I think it's brilliant.
What is a Kardashian?
Wasn't it the forerunner to the Cortina? There was a Ford Kardashian. Between the prefect, the popular, Kardashian, then the Cortina.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
That is incorrect. A Kardashian is a member of the Kardashian family, as seen on the popular television programme Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, no, they're a rock group.
No, they are not.
They're not a rock group called Kardashian.
No, that's Kasabian.
Oh, same. You're all a bloody same.
Do you even know who Kanye West is?
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Kanye West.
He's the brother of the famous tuna magnate, John West.
Do Jim and Tim know what BuzzFeed is? What's a BuzzFeed?
BuzzFeed?
I love how you said, what's a BuzzFeed? That's good. The fact that you don't really know what BuzzFeed is.
I know what a BuzzFeed is.
It's not our BuzzFeed, though.
I'm on the Facebook.
A BuzzFeed. Tim, any guesses at BuzzFeed?
No, run out of ideas, sorry. Yeah.
Run out. BuzzFeed is a website that contains, like, amusing lists of stuff. Well, you don't like it, Dad.
No, it's not original. Why do you have to go to a thing? I'm against referring to things.
Right.
I'm all for...
He reads the Bible.
No, get out of it. I'm all for thinking of things myself without having to refer to ideas or else.
Right.
I'd rather have my own.
All right. What is Tinder?
It's one of them website stupid bloody things like BuzzFeed, isn't it? Bollocky thing, I don't know.
It's a dating app.
You'll get a picture of a man and you can either swipe... I think is it left for yes and right for no? I don't know.
I don't know because I'm married and I've never used Tinder. Never, you tell me.
No, I don't know. I know people who know things. Anyway, the next one is Grindr. What is Grindr?
I think I do know. This is to do with trolling, isn't it? I think.
What is trolling?
What is trolling? You write malicious
stuff.
Like
a supermarket trolling?
You write malicious stuff on a website.
Yeah, that's trolling, yeah. Yes. What's Grindr got to do with trolling?
That you're relentless with it and you go on and on.
I can see where you're going. Grindr is like Tinder, but it's for Tim. Who could it be for?
It's the gays. You can put a thing in your mobile phone and find out what other gays are in your area, so to speak. Exactly.
You've got to spell it.
Bugger me.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. What is Minder?
Dennis Waterman. You know, he was one.
I can't eat them good for you.
You just spoiled the joke. Just ruined the punchline, Dad. That's so annoying. Oh. Minder is a dating app for fans of Dennis Waterman. Well, at the end of that quiz, thank you very much for playing. You've lost, but not actually by that much. I'm quite impressed.
No, it was a good fight.
Do you feel like now you're more informed about youth culture? Do you feel more enlightened?
No.
That's it. So we've cracked that nut. Thank you. So we've come to the end of the podcast, which is my favourite bit, Ellie.
Yes, the end is always my favourite too.
Particularly in this podcast, let me tell you. Okay, so we have come to the section which I like to call Scummy Mummy Confessions. So shall we start off with the listener confession?
Oh, yes, please. We've got one from the lovely Claire Steele this
Claire
week,
Steele,
haven't we?
Claire Steele, hello, Claire Steele. And she writes to us and she said, often when I get my little boy out of his cot, he gives me a gift. And it's always been a toy, but this morning it was something smaller. He carefully picked it up and solemnly dropped it into my waiting palm. It was a dried bogey. Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh.
I knew that his sheet hadn't been changed for a couple of weeks. Do you think he was giving me a hint? Now, thank you, Claire Steele. We were camping at Camp Festival. My son had his... So he took his nappy off and he looked at both me and my husband and decided to wee. But because we were on a slope, the wee made like almost a stream through the tent and just made its way through our luggage. But you know what was nice is that I had already changed into my costume for the Scummy Mummy show that we were about to perform in the Guardian tent. And how I stopped the flow of wee was with my knee. So I had a wee-soaked knee going on stage.
That's authentic. That's living, that is, that's living the show. That's living the show.
That is a commitment to the theme.
My Scummy Mummy confession is also Camp Festival related.
Yeah.
You were drinking wine out of a bag.
Yes.
And you didn't have a cup.
Yeah.
So I emptied out, one of the kids had those Calypso drinks, the really disgusting drinks. So I emptied out.
This is a great story.
The rest of Charlie's drink, he finished it. Poured in some of the wine out of the box, put the lid back on, the little straw in, and there you go. Hey, presto.
Yeah, so I was drinking my white wine out of a children's juice box, basically.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Which is scummy enough, really.
Tommy Gypsy, wasn't
it? Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
We sort of forgot about it, and then about half an hour later, I looked over to see my son pick up a drink, take a sip, and make a horrendous face. I realised he'd just drunk some of your warm white wine.
Yes, so very nice. Yeah.
Hopefully he did not ask for any more. That's
Can we also add that Steve Hill was in presence?
Yes.
At that stage.
Yeah. Well, are you blaming him for this? I don't
Pretty
know if that's
much.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it, isn't it?
That's it. What a wonderful treat it was.
It's been fireside chat.
That's right. And keep emailing us on scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, more confessions, please. Always more confessions. You can follow us on the Twitter.
I love saying the little Twitter.
Yes. At Scummy Mummies. And we're on the Facebook.
That's right.
And we're on Tinder. Hot Mommies 77.
That's it. And we are also coming to the north of England. We're going to Manchester on the 23rd of October.
Yes.
We are in Manchester. Hello, Manchester.
Well, thanks, everyone. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So, one more thing. Will Porter, who is a good friend of mine, asked me if you would sing the theme tune, if I would make you sing the theme tune to Jossie's Giants, which is, of course, a kids' TV programme you were in the 80s. Will you sing it for Will? Will you?
Here comes Jossie's Giants. Football's just a branch of science. Head the ball now, go man, go. Jossie's Giants.
Will, I hope you're very happy. That was for Will Porter. Thank you very much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.